Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast. This week, we have the episodes Taking It on the Chinchu.
Whoa.
And a Corsola Caper. I feel like we just had a Caper episode. But anyway, just a quick reminder, this is an E4 explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex.
Ayo.
Heyo. What's up, Alex?
Not much. I'm super sleepy today.
We can tell.
Well, yep. There's a reason for that.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear about it. And I can't wait to hear from our other co-host, Austin. What's up?
Apologies if I'm having echoey audio feed today. I had to relocate to a different room, but y'all can deal.
We actually relocated. How many times, Austin? Two or three before we found the best spot?
This is the least worst option.
Yeah, it's that drywall bouncing off of it.
I decided I hate the place I purchased, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't say that, Austin.
It's really just the asbestos that's the problem, I think.
I mean, the lead, that's one thing they don't like.
And the mercury. My God. But why do you hate your place, Austin? Is that what you did this week? You just wrote down a list of why you hated where you live?
Well, there's the sewer smell that comes up through the pipes. That's one thing I don't like.
Is it after it rains?
No, it's every time.
Oh, okay.
All right, but Alex, why are you tired?
You know,
Austin.
Every place is going to have things you like and you don't like. So I think that there's nothing terribly wrong with your place, Austin. It's quite cozy. Anyway, why am I sleepy? I'm sleepy because I wish I had a condo instead of living in an apartment. Because last night, I don't know who the fuck was outside at the pool / recreational area. Because I live like in the building that sort of faces the office and the pool and the tennis courts of my apartment complex. And the posted signage says the pool is open from 9 a.m. to dusk, which when the sun starts going down, get the fuck out. Obviously, these people didn't get the memo because they were partying at the pool until 2 a.m.
I hate public pools.
I also hate the people who were at the public pool. The public pool didn't do anything wrong. The people didn't fucking leave, and I wanted to go scream at them, but I thought that wouldn't solve anything, so.
What were we talking about, like loud music or just obnoxious, oh, that kind of party?
You could hear so they were blasting music, and they were whooping and laughing and screaming and stuff like that, and I'm like, because when I came back, so I went to visit Austin last night, and I came back at like, what was it, like 9:30? And there were a bunch of cars and people at the pool, and I'm like, well, that's weird, because usually if it's like an apartment mandated event, they wouldn't go that late.
Mandated? Like you have to go to stuff there?
No, like if they were putting on an event. Sorry, wrong choice of words. If they were doing something and hosting it, they probably wouldn't go that late. It would probably be in the evening time, not at night.
I have a proposition.
What?
Let's go out. We're going to party at that public pool until 2 in the morning next weekend.
Oh, God. I was awake, but only because they were keeping me awake. Like, I was sitting here, and I was so focused on it. And you know how you get to that point where you sort of, like, cross the threshold of tiredness?
Yes.
And you're like, I'm tired, but I can't sleep. So I was just sitting here at my desk, because my desk faces out over this, you know, window where I can
just
see
just staring
the whole
at them partying with a glare.
No, I can't see them. I can't see them from where I'm at. I can sort of, it's through a bunch of trees, but I can kind of see the pool area. I couldn't see the people, though. But I'm facing it, so I could hear everything.
The worst is when they all woo. They all go, woo! I'm like, shut the fuck up.
That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. They were wooing. They were laughing. And I'm like, look, I'm all for summer fun, parties, weekend. Like, that's great. You know, live your best life. But can we do it within quiet hours? Like, can we, or not quiet hours? Like, the pool hours say until dusk. Like, fucking leave. If you want to go party, go to a bar or go back to your own apartments, but don't disturb your neighbors. Like,
don't be outside.
I'm sleepy Tido because people are fucking crazy.
Okay. Alex, was that your week?
Yeah, no, that's about it. Nothing interesting.
All right, Jacob, how's your week?
I'm continuously trying to make my life easier. That's the reason why when someone recently asked me, like, what would I do during the apocalypse? And I was like, I'd probably just die. Because anything below the standard I have now of living, I don't think I could accept. I decided to ease up a little bit, and I got a remote control lawnmower. That was pretty cool.
Is that a...
What?
What?
So I don't have to go outside in the hot sun and push the mow the grass.
A remote control lawnmower?
That is not a thing.
It is a thing.
Is. No.
Is this like an RC car size thing, or is this like...
No, it's an actual lawnmower.
How is expensive...
This, is this what that Pikachu short was about?
Exactly. This is what it was about. There's the guy who owns the mansion was actually aiming it towards them. It was cool. I was out there. I was mowing yesterday with it. It actually sped things up a lot, and I was just sitting on my porch doing it. And people were driving by honking their horns, and I had a bunch of, like, dads come over, and we talked about it for a little while. And
oh, so it looks like a Roomba.
Kind of. Yeah.
Jacob's over there living the ultimate suburban dad fantasy life.
People were coming over and just watching me do this. It was great.
Kicking back with his remote-controlled lawnmower.
Yeah.
I mean, your yard is a fairly steep hill.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to mow that either.
Yeah, it's big, too. You know? I mean, not like super big, but, you know.
This thing looks crazy.
This is the other one. I think this is the one I got.
This is the one you got?
Mm. And it's actually was really cool because it's like a startup company, and I emailed them and they gave me a bunch of discount codes for it because they're just trying to like get it out.
What did you email them?
Well, I was just like Googling stuff and I found this company, and because I was looking to get like a robotic lawnmower, the one that does it automatically, but I don't have the best setup for that with like the fence, and I only have one outlet for outdoors, and it's just not a good setup. So I was like, I need to get something that like maybe I can control. Or, you know, just doing some research, and I found this company, and they were like, okay, we'll give you a like, discount code, and we'll give you some extra stuff for it, and they were cool.
How much of a discount was it? Because this is kind of expensive.
How much does it say?
500.
Well, it was like a couple hundred, I think they gave me for it.
Wow, yeah. It goes to show you that all you have to do is ask, and you can end up getting a steep discount.
Yeah, they were really cool. And they also gave me, like, when they were shipping it, they were like, going to use another company, but then they were like, we researched, and we're going to give you, like, $30 worth of extra tools because we found a cheaper shipping method. And it's actually really cheap. That's actually super cheap. Actually, the most entertaining part, like I said, was people's reactions. Like, they were walking, all the, you know, neighbors and stuff were honking their horns when I was doing it and giving me thumbs up. It was cool. It was real cool.
This is big. You don't live on a busy energy street.
What the fuck is going on?
Austin, you're underestimating the joys that people get out of, like, mundane household stuff in a neighborhood.
Dude, anytime you're doing something here, like, any kind of work, it's like people's things go off and people will come up and be like, do you need something? Do you need a chainsaw? Do you need some kind of this tool I have? And then everybody just kind of, like, collaborates on it. My neighbor's got some serious equipment. He's got, like, a skid steer and like a dingo. He's got like actual construction equipment at his house. So anytime you need something, he's like, I got you. I don't know why he has that stuff. He's actually a young guy too, like super young. Just graduated high school and he's got all this stuff.
What the fuck? That's a rich person.
Yeah.
My mind's going straight to true crime. I'm like, he's burying bodies or something.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm going to cut that off. Okay, my week. I don't have much to report for my week, but have y'all seen the Tesla Cybertrucks out and about?
Oh, yes. I saw one for the first time the other day in real life.
Jacob, you haven't seen one yet?
I haven't. I've seen pictures of them.
Okay, I saw. I actually missed it. I was in the car with my mom right outside my parents' house, and she was like, what in the hell is that? She didn't say that, but she was like, what is that? And she like flipped out. And I was like, what? And I looked up, and she was like, this thing just came by. And I'm like, what thing? And she couldn't describe it in words, but we figured out it was a Cybertruck. And I was like, I didn't even know those were, like, real, like, in the world. The next day, I saw one, possibly the same one, I don't know. And I'm like, they look so ridiculous. They look like someone from Mad Max has come into town. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
why? I don't understand.
I was going to say the reason you probably haven't seen many around in real life is because they keep breaking down. You can't actually drive them. Mm. They have to keep getting towed away for repair. So,
well, I think they just came out officially on the market.
Yeah, that was like the old, like people who were, they were breaking down were like the testers, was kind of like what they were saying. That was like the V1 and the V2 is the one that's
that doesn't
like,
inspire a lot of confidence though.
Like, why would you spend that money on that shit? It's so ugly.
It is. I got a bunch of the Rivierans near me. Like, people love the...
I don't even know what that is.
It's like the competitor to Tesla.
It's a Rivian.
Rivian. That's what it is.
Rivian.
Those look cool. I like those. I like the headlights on them. They got like the bug eye or the...
I mean, it's actually kind of cute.
Yeah. You're talking about the headlights
on it? It looks ridiculous, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It looks like a Pokemon. It looks like a Disney car or some sort.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Kirby's cousin.
Yeah.
Can we just put a disclaimer and just say, like, please, please, for the love of everything, if you're seriously considering a Cybertruck, don't. Just don't.
If you have that much money, just give it to Out of the Drying Pan Patreon, because we really need it.
Yeah.
So we can buy our own Cybertrucks.
Yeah, we're going to get a fleet of them. We're going to have a caravan.
So this first episode, taking it on the Chin Chow, not taking it in the Chin Chow.
Oh, my God.
I haven't taken it in the Chin Chow in years.
That sounds like some kind of, like, Family Guy thing when they're doing it in the ear.
Oh, my God. That's a decent episode, actually.
Yeah, it is a decent episode. But I forgot about Chin Chow as a Pokemon, so that's going to be interesting. I forgot this Pokemon even existed.
It's not a favorite of mine.
Nah, mine either.
I mean, it's not the worst Pokemon ever, but it's not my favorite, and I've never used one in any game I've ever played. It was a Gen 2 Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, see, that's how forgettable it is.
I think it has a decent type combo.
That is cool. Lantern is okay.
Lantern's much better. Chin Chow is nothing.
I don't know, is that Alolan Execute's really stupid, so we can move on
now. Do not.
Jacob,
do not.
What is with this smack talk? Why do you have to pull Alola Executor into this?
Alex, you got the 30-second summary challenge this week. Austin, you're doing taking on the Chin Chow. And then I got Corsola Caper, which...
Okay, great.
I think we just had a caper episode, but we'll get to that. I want to talk about that later. Let me get your timer ready, Alex. Are you ready? 5 seconds.
Sure.
3, 2, 1, go.
So we've taken a wrong turn and ended up at Blue Lagoon instead of Bluefinland. They try to figure out how to get back, but are interrupted by a Chin Chow and his trainer. They have to go to the annual Parade of the Chin Chows to help the Chin Chows get back to the ocean from their breeding ground at the top of the mountain. But shit goes horribly wrong when the little kid, Dayton, falls into a ravine and is magically unharmed. They get separated from the other Chin Chow, but somehow meet back up at the beach.
Time.
He says a tearful goodbye, and everything is happy.
Okay, so we're not actually very happy, because Ash has convinced the twerps that they need to take a cable car up to a mountain for no reason. So we are at Blue Lagoon, which is not actually a lagoon. It's a lake at the top of a mountain.
Is that the whole area?
What do you mean?
Like, what's the island called? What island are we on?
Blue Point Island.
Okay. So the Blue Lagoon's actually a real place, which is kind of cool, in Iceland.
Okay, tell us more about Blue Lagoon.
I didn't go there. I just know it's like got a bunch of good like mud in it that you can give yourself a good facial with.
So does this mean that since we ended up at Blue Lagoon, that we actually never end up going to Blue Finland?
I had a question about that at the end.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, we're at Blue Lagoon, not the sexy film series, but the Pokemon world location, apparently. And it's time for the annual Chin Chow Parade, in which every year the Chin Chows hatch, and they all walk through the town of Blue Lagoon for about 20 seconds, and then they go to the ocean. And we meet Dayton, some little boy, and his Chin Chow, Bright.
That's a cute name. I actually really like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not very bright.
No, he's not. Dayton and Bright introduce them to Dayton's father, who will also be facilitating the parade of the Chin Chow. And, of course, the twerps have to get involved because they're the twerps. We begin the parade of the Chin Chow, in which the Chin Chow know it's time to go when Dayton's dad blows a Chin Chow whistle. That's their nature call to migrate, I guess.
What does the whistle look like? Isn't it just a regular whistle?
No, it's a Chin Chow whistle.
Oh, it's the shape of a Chin Chow?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Blows right into the hole.
Yep, the hole that all Chin Chows have.
Oh my god.
We gotta find it.
All of the newborn Chin Chow come out of the Blue Lagoon, and they all walk through the town, and all these people are celebrating and throwing water on them and pounding taiko drums. And it's all really exciting. And then about 10 seconds later, it's all over.
Wow. Good, all that
good festival.
Up, all that lead up for nothing.
The end of the episode. That's it. That's all she wrote.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So we wander, we wander, we wander. We're going through the woods. We go over one of Melanie's bridges that shockingly does not collapse yet. Until Team Rocket attacks.
Why do they want a bunch of Chin Chow anyway? Like, what was their contrived reason? Because there was some, like, Christmas references where they're like, oh, we can use it to decorate our Christmas tree. Because, sure, why not?
Oh my god, we're in the Christmas dimension.
The Christmas dimension returns.
Team Rocket attacks, and ironically, they destroy Melanie's bridge. And this leaves the Chin Chow pack. What do we call a group of Chin Chow?
A Chorgy. A Chargy?
A Chorgy. An Orgy?
A Chorgy.
A chargey, maybe?
A charge.
A charge. Like that sounds
a
cool.
A charge of Chin Chow.
A charge of Chin Chow.
The charge has been separated.
That's so exciting.
I pulled on the mic.
I love charge. Charge me up.
Got a little bit excited there. Got a little charged up, Austin.
The charge has been separated into a positive charge and a minus charge.
A negative charge?
A negative charge.
Right.
So Ash and Dayton are with one charge, and Misty Brock and Dayton Dad are with the other charge.
Does he have a name?
Dayton Dad.
Dayton Dad? Okay.
Dayton Dad. That's the name of my dating podcast.
Ooh, Double D.
Ooh, Double D.
Oh my god.
I thought that was the name of Dayton's mom.
No.
Whoa.
Dayton's adopted.
Okay.
The rails.
Double D.
It's not a very interesting episode. Sorry, no. Chin Chow.
Ed and Eddie.
Ed and Eddie.
Do we ever find out what Double D's hair looks like? Because everybody always seems, like, really shocked when they
see it.
He's
bald. He's bald.
Is he bald? Is that it? Yeah. Do we ever see that for sure?
He's bald?
There was a theory that he was sick.
No.
A fan theory.
No, no.
That's what I just read.
Do we ever actually see it, or is it always one of those, like, off-screen things?
It's off-screen. You see the shadow of it, I think, once, which makes it look bald.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mysteries.
Let me Google Double D's real quick. Double D's head.
Yeah, Google Double D's. See what you find.
Wow, okay.
Double D's giving head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you. So, I guess this might be it.
Are you putting a link in the...
Oh. No, he has hair.
It's, like, very thin. He's thin.
It's like
already.
Charlie Brown or Linus hair.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's that mystery solved.
Ash and Anne Dayton are bleeding their Chin Chows until Dayton inexplicably falls down a cliff. I missed exactly how that happened.
You missed the whole part where the Chin Chow almost die of dehydration.
Unfortunately, the Chin Chow do not die of dehydration because Totodile saves their lives with his hydration water.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, moving on. Dayton falls to his death, but then the Chin Chows are able to use their Chin Chow senses to find him.
How did he not, like, die? He, like, falls down a ravine. They're, like, walking on this, like, narrow cliff face because the mountainous cliffs of Blue Lagoon Isle, I don't know. But he, like, falls down and, like, rolls and, like, hits his head a bunch of times.
I thought he was gonna, like, break a limb or something.
His knee hurts, and he's, like... Okay, I'm just going to sit here. And then it starts to rain because that's atmospheric or something. And then they find him. And then that was just a time filler because nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
He falls down the ravine. So then Ash and the Chin Chow walk down the ravine without any difficulty whatsoever after it just rained and find him. And all of the conflict is resolved. And then they walk to the beach where they find... Yes?
I was going to say, you forgot that Ash has magical walking at 90 degrees up cliff face powers.
He's part goat.
Yep. They walk down the ravine.
Yeah.
At like kind of Spider-Man-like.
Yep.
I was expecting a dark turn to where, like, Dayton falls down and they're running out of food. So maybe, like, the Chin Chow have to eat Dayton. That'd be interesting.
What exactly is a Dayton?
What?
Is a Chin Chow. What exactly is a Chin Chow?
I mean, it's a city in Ohio, but... Okay.
Dayton is a concept, Austin, of struggle.
What animal is a Chin Chow?
An anglerfish?
An anglerfish. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, okay, on my phone, what does Bulbapedia say?
Oh, Lord. It's going to be like it's a mythical creature from...
Platypus? What?
Platypus?
No, I didn't say that. I'm kidding. I didn't say that.
You know what this reminds me of, you guys? Actually, what a Chin Chow, like, the memory I had. I don't know if you guys ever played Spyro, the third Spyro game, Year of the Dragon. Nope. But there's a level in that game called Spooky Swamp, and there's these little, like, lightning bug guys, And the Chin Chow reminds me of those. They have one of the most infuriating mini games known to man.
Are they good or bad?
They're like, I mean, they're just little side quest characters where you have to like go through a little mini game where you have to escort them because they're carrying bombs to like blow up a cage.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of the hardest mini games, or at least it was when I was a kid. It's infuriating, and it just always reminds me, like, Chin Chow just reminds me of those little guys, but... let's see, what does Bulbapedia say?
Bulbapedia says anglerfish, specifically a football fish, if you've seen Finding Nemo, you know what it is.
Oh, is that what a football fish is like an anglerfish thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm gonna get you.
You're gonna be my best friend.
Ew, this thing is horrifying looking.
Yeah, God's reach did not reach the lower layers of the ocean because those things are disgusting.
I hate the deep sea. I hate it. I hate it. It's disgusting. It's horrible.
There's that one fish, too. It's called like a wolf fish or something.
A wolf fish?
You can cut off its head and it still bites.
What?
Like if you get near it, like it lives without its body for a while.
Stop. Oh, that thing looks vicious. Look at that thing.
No, this is horrible. I don't like any of this.
That's beneath your feet when you go swimming in the ocean.
I'm good.
I don't go swimming in the ocean for many reasons, including that.
That's a female anglerfish, by the way. The male anglerfish is literally the size of a penny, and it just swims up the, you know, V-hole and impregnates her and then dies.
The V-hole?
Yeah.
Don't they get absorbed into the body of the female?
I think
they
so.
They basically, maybe like, that's dissolve.
What happens. Ew, what the fuck is happening in the ocean?
That's what you gotta do to survive.
Horrors. I hate Chin Chow. Okay, I looked up lantern on Bulbapedia, and they said the same thing, but noted that it also has features of a dolphin.
A dolphin? Bulbapedia is smoking something.
Yep.
What are the dolphin features on a lantern? Like what, aside from it being blue-ish?
I mean, it's kind of dolphin-shaped.
Is it? It has
not really.
It has a fin that goes vertical and not horizontal, so that automatically disqualifies it from looking like a
dolphin. Okay, Bulbapedia. Just don't listen to Bulbapedia. They're full of shit.
It shares some of its similarities with dolphins.
No, it does not.
Who wrote that? Shame on you.
Okay, so the Chin Chow's eggs are laid at the top of this mountain, by the way. How do lanterns get up there? A Chin Chow has little feet that it can walk on. Lantern can't. They're not amphibious.
Well, it doesn't have to be a lantern to breed.
The lanterns breed somewhere else.
Doesn't that kind of end evolution, though? Like, if Chin Chow... There's no point in evolution for Pokemon, though, because if Chin Chows just breed other Chin Chows and lanterns breed other lanterns...
Well, lanterns breed Chin Chows.
Then who's breeding... How are they getting up there, like Austin said? I don't know.
Exactly. They can't. They cannot travel up there.
So it's just the ones that aren't evolving, then?
It must be.
That's an interesting loophole thing that they didn't address.
Anyway, the two groups of Chin Chow, whatever you call them, sparks, find each other. The charges find each other. And then they all fall into a Team Rocket pitfall trap, and Team Rocket attacks. And I think Bright blasts them off again. I could be wrong, but I don't really care. And now it's time for Bright to go into the ocean. Even though we saw earlier Pokeball mechanics, Bright belongs to a Pokeball. So he is officially Dayton's Pokemon. And I don't understand why he needs to go in the ocean.
Well, that's like Ash's Butterfree, right?
Oh, it has to go fuck. It has to go make more Chin Chows. The cycle of life.
Okay, we may have talked about this, but I don't remember. Do we know if Ash ever officially released Butterfree?
He didn't appear to.
No.
So,
I think it would just go mate and come back, but it never came back.
In that case, I guess it's the same kind of thing, right? He's still officially an owned Pokemon, but he's just out of the ball and just goes off.
He'll never truly be a free Chin Chow.
Yeah, Bright goes off to find Ash's Butterfree and the pink Butterfree, and they make a thruple.
So, I have a thought. Since what we know about football fish, like Jacob said, is that the males, which I'm assuming Bright is a male Chin Chow.
Uh-oh.
If it goes out into the ocean to smash with some lady Chin Chow, does that mean it's going to die when it gets absorbed? Dayton's never going to see Bright again.
Nah, I mean, it happens. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Nature's scary.
Man, nature, you scary.
A lot of Family Guy today. Okay.
All
right, that's it.
That's it. No, it's not.
No, it's not, because we go to a pier somewhere, which I guess is Bluefinland. I guess we walk there.
So they do end up at Bluefinland, or what?
I don't know. They don't even say. They're just at a pier somewhere. Though they're at sea level, so I assume they're not on top of a mountain.
Huh.
I assume they're in Bluefinland, and they get on a ship. And Missy sees a Corsola on the rocks, and she tries to jump out of the ship to get it, and dies. And now the episode's over.
Huh. Hmm. R.I.P. Misty.
And she gets absorbed by a char of Chin Chows. in the ocean.
Ew, no, no, I don't like that.
Misty's got some Corsola obsession, and I don't really understand it, because I don't think that they are all that.
I hope you're looking forward to discussing Corsola, Alex.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have a choice. Bring it on.
Most vibey player, least vibey player, and the quote for this episode. I'm going first, followed by Austin, and then Alex. Okay, my quote comes from James, and it's like at the end of the episode after they get blasted off. They're like on a sinking thing in the ocean, and James goes, "This time we're really sunk." Not a lot of good quotes this episode.
No, no, there weren't.
I'll give my MVP... I'll just give it to Ash for his goat climbing ability. I'm jealous of that, I guess. That's pretty cool. My LVP, or my least viable player, I'm going to give it to all the male Chin Chows for the inevitable end they're about to meet. But or they could be the MVP. I don't know. Maybe what they want. I don't know.
I mean, death by vagina. Yeah.
To get absorbed into a V-hole.
Yeah. It's kind of like that movie
Ultimate
Teeth.
Ultimate goal. Oh, God.
That's it for me. Let's take it from there. Who's up next?
I guess it's my turn. All right. There's no good quotes. So I'll say after Team Rocket's plan to net the Chin Chow fails, Meow says, "Now that's what I call working without a net."
Hey, sure.
Ha-ha.
My MVP is going to be the female Chin Chows for not dying. And my LVP is going to be Dayton's dad for not having a name.
Oh, what a loser. Didn't even name him.
Does he have a name according to...
Let's see what Bulbapedia has to say.
Bulbapedia seems like they fucking know everything, don't they? Fucking
his name is
Lantern
Charger.
Dolphins. Charger.
Charger.
Dodge Charger. Charger. I'm still thinking about the lanterns being similar to dolphins, and I'm bamboozled. It's ridiculous. I don't...
Okay, Dayton's dad does not have a name, but his Japanese name is Daiso.
Daiso.
Oh, that's a good store there. If you ever want to go
what
to
does
like
that
a
translate into?
Cheap.
Daiso?
It's a good store.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a dollar store over there.
His dad is cheap because he can't invest in like a cart or something to like wheel all these Chin Chows down in. These Chin Chow have zero survival
Alex, it's your
skills.
Turn.
Well, I thought Jacob was doing some research.
I don't know. I don't know. Big Crater. That's what I'm getting.
Big Crater?
Yeah.
Big Crater?
Is that what the male Chin Chow say when they die?
Creator.
Oh, God.
A creator.
Big Creator?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Die means big and so means to create.
Huh.
Etymology with out of the drying pan.
Yeah. It's Alrighty. Probably wrong. Don't take that for... It's probably not right.
Yeah, just like lanterns being like dolphins. Probably not right. All right. My MVP is going to be... Oh, God. I don't even know. Totodile. You know what? I'm just going to give it to Totodile because he was super cute and he's always helpful in every situation he's in. And he saved the Chin Chow from shriveling up and dying a miserable death in the woods. So thanks so much, Totodile. My LVP is going to be Bulbapedia. And I'm just going to leave it at that. My quote is... My original one was going to be the ocean in general because fuck that, it's scary. But I changed my mind at the last second. My quote's going to be during the part when they get separated and Dayton and Ash are on one side of the ravine and then... Brock and Misty and Daiso are on the other side, and Misty calls across. She says, "If you want to get lost, Dayton, you can have Ash lead the way."
Heyo. All right. That does it for taking on the Chin Chow. Chin Chow. I forgot that Pokemon existed, but I'm learning a lot, or I'm learning that I've forgot a lot about Pokemon, which ones exist. So this is fun. This is fun. All right. Now we got a Corsola Caper, which we just had something called a Caper episode.
Did
right?
we? Oh, Kecleon Caper.
Kecleon Caper.
Oh,
that's
Jacob.
Right. Yeah.
Good memory there.
Good call.
I got to look up what a caper is.
What's the official definition of caper?
Mm-hmm. What is a caper?
Those little yummy salty things.
Yeah, caper bush.
Skip or dance about in a lively or playful way.
What? I've never heard that definition in
me
my
either.
Life.
This is giving me unripe green buds of a prickly bush.
My God, caper is everything but what we thought it was.
A playful skipping movement? I've literally never heard that.
Okay, this is, says caper informal, an activity or escapade, typically one that is illicit or ridiculous.
Okay, that seems more fitting.
Okay, so the first three definitions don't make any mention of the actual, like, little berry thing that you put on food.
I'll tell you what, they called this episode a Corsola Caper because this is the alliteration episode. It was alliteration all throughout and I wanted to scream.
Do you have examples? Because I didn't notice that.
No, I didn't write down a single one, but it was constant.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe in alliteration, so.
No, it's not real.
Alliteration's not real. A myth.
It's a fairy tale to scare children.
Could you imagine telling a teacher that? Like, I don't believe in that. It's not real. Literary devices. They're all fake. I don't believe in it.
Okay, Alex, I'm going to time you.
Okay.
Oh, God. There's not much to really say here, but I'll try my best.
Yeah, this is not a... whatever.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we're on the second world island, Yellow Rock Island. And as they go through town, Misty spots decorative Corsola art pieces, and she resolves that she has to have a Corsola for herself, because why the fuck not, I guess. They get led to the beach by Psyduck, who senses danger, where a house is being swept into a whirlpool. They save the family aboard the house and discover that these crazy motherfuckers build their houses on very fragile Corsola. And the Corsola have gone missing, and now their house is crumbling into the sea.
Time.
They find all the Corsola. Hooray.
Your audio was cutting out so bad, I don't know what you said, but sure.
Oh, no. I hope it's not.
It sounded like that scene in Wayne's World when they order from, like, Dunkin' Donuts or whatever. But it also was, like, timing to where it could have been a cuss word. So, for me, I was just being entertained because it sounded like you were cussing every other third word. So
I really hope it picked it up.
It was, like, the big blank... Corsola, and the Corsola's big blank. It's just like,
this is a choose your own 30 seconds, so whatever that what, you want to put in there, you can just
I need an adverb. Can someone give me an adverb to fill in this episode? Give me an adverb. 30
second
please.
Mad libs.
Hey, I don't believe
I don't
in
know
adverbs,
you guys. I really am sorry. I don't know what the fuck's going on with my audio. It's saying it's picking it up. The blue lines are there, like audio is happening, so I'm not really sure, but hopefully it comes across in the recording part. So
yeah, well, hopefully it does. I have no transition from your summary because I didn't hear it. So I'm gonna jump right in the episode and go to Ash. And we're on Yellow Rock Isle. I think the narrator says they're trying to make it to the red one. I forgot about that, to the World Cup. So there's no challenges on these islands except for once they get to the Red Island. That's where the World Cup takes place. So yep. We're just on misadventures until we get to Red Island.
Correct.
Okay. Just clarifying that because nothing's going to happen here.
Why even bother stopping at all these other islands if the destination is just on the one island? Like, why can't we just zip straight to Red Rock Isle?
Because it's about the Johto journey, not the Johto destination.
Sorry, I forgot.
But also, we have no choice but to stop here because we meet two people. I may mispronounce their names. Mika?
I think that's right.
Mika, all right. And Andrea, or Andrea, right?
I think that's right.
I think so.
Okay, and these people are not the smartest because they've built a house on a Corsola nest. Which I imagine is probably louder than the party that happened out at Alex's pool last night with okay. What's probably going on in that nest. Could you imagine?
You know what? I just want to say, these people are insane because aside from the parties that seem to happen now that it's summer at the pool, okay, whatever, I've also been dealing with the squirrel saga, which I'm not sure if I've mentioned the squirrels on this podcast before. But I live right up against like a wooded area. The squirrels, there's a ton of squirrels around here. And instead of staying in their lane and living in the trees like they fucking should, they decide that they really love to fuck around on top of the roof and fight each other and roll around and run at all hours of the night. So you can hear their little chick-chick-chick-chick-chick all night long. And sometimes they start fighting each other and it gets pretty violent. There's a whole, like, squirrel hierarchy, I guess, that's happening.
Yeah, there is.
My point, all that to say, I know what it's like to live very close in the vicinity of an animal. Like, so I can't imagine what horrible noise and, like, mess living on top of a bunch of Corsola would have to be.
I had the squirrel issue, too. So what I did is I just cut a whole bunch of tree branches back from my house to keep them from, like, getting on it. But then I felt bad. So then I built some houses out in the back. I throw them peanuts every now and then, so I feel like we have a mutual understanding that you stay in your house, I stay in mine, I throw you food, you leave me alone. So we've kind of worked it out.
I don't feel like that would matter too much because this building is stucco, so it's got a texture, so they just climb right up the side of the wall. I see them. They just scale that shit. No, like
they just go up it. Yeah, they're like Ash climbing that ravine. They just can make their way through it.
They don't even need to jump from the tree. I mean, I've seen them jump from the tree to the roof, but they don't even need to if they really wanted. They can just climb up the wall.
Well, luckily, the squirrels are on something stable, like a roof, unlike these people's home, which it's just kind of... I don't get how Corsola being in it make it any more secure to the land. I don't understand that aspect of it, but apparently that's what it does.
What even is a Corsola nest? What is the material they use to make their nest?
Poop.
Well, mess and nest. That's a good way.
Oh, their messy nest.
Ugh. Could be like puffins. You know, puffins, they dig into the side of mountains to go potty.
Sounds like a structurally sound structure.
Yeah.
To put your home on, your house.
Yeah, it's not very smart, because I don't, like I said, I don't get how, like, Corsola being in there make it any more stable, but all the Corsola have left, and now this thing's just, like, free-floating out to sea, and the Ash and Co. save him, or save the house. So I think Mika's in there, and they, like, pull it back with a boat. But we do kind of find out why the family builds their houses there. They got some kind of, like, I think symbiotic is the word I'm looking for, relationship with the Corsola, where they go out there and they dehorn them and then sell them. They have like a horny sale every now and then.
Horny sale.
A horny sale.
Throw them out to the public. Which I wonder. I didn't know Corsola had horns. I didn't know that was like a thing. Do they ever explain like how they get them off, or they just like
grow? I think it's like shed. A fingernail. They just grow like fingernails.
Okay. Oh my god. Off. Well, that sucks to have those things run anyway. If they're shedding those things, can you imagine stepping on one of those things? Like, you think a Lego's bad?
Well, you got to take it and make it into a crown.
They're like the people when you go on a cruise and you step off the island and they're like, you want some gold or this shell necklace for $50? Do you want this? That's what these people are. It's just like doing some kind of like hustle here where they just yank the horns off these Corsola and just throw them at people.
How sustainable is this? I mean, they're obviously a tourist town, so all their revenue comes from these art shops where they like make jewelry and art pieces and things out of these coral horns, I guess. But like, what happens when people are like, you know what? That's not the in thing anymore. That's not trendy. We're not going to buy any more Corsola horn stuff anymore.
True.
Then what do they do for work or money?
Maybe that's the gimmick. Maybe they constantly lose their house and have people save them. And then they just make people buy their jewelry. So, Team Rocket's here also, and their original plan is they actually break into their store, this family store, and start to steal some of the horns. But they get caught, and they kind of get, you know, ran off. And so that's all we see of them for now. But then we kind of get the story of what's going on here with Mika and Andrea's house, about how there's all the Corsola used to be there and nest and, you know, do their humping there. But they can't do it anymore because there's there's one Corsola named Rocky, who is going about just beating everybody up. I think Rocky's a good name.
Okay, Rocky the Corsola, sure.
Rocky the Corsola, okay. I like this one. This little guy is just... it's kind of funny. They have like a little montage of him just smacking all the other Corsola, and it's not like he's really mean. He's just so happy to see him, is kind of what they say, that he just keeps tackling everything. Am I missing anything so far? Is that pretty much what's going on here? Because the rest of it's really bland. Yeah, that's only the cool stuff. All the cool stuff happens in the beginning. The rest is kind of lame.
It made me think of the Hoppip episode where the tornado separates all the Hoppips and they had to go find them.
Oh my god, the Hoppips. Yeah, and they were in like all these precarious little parts. They have to climb the trees looking for them.
Yeah, I actually like Hoppip now.
Hoppip's cute.
Yeah, it is. It's better than a Chin Chow.
But what do we think of Corsola? Did we think Corsola is cute?
No.
Okay.
It's kind of weird.
I'm sorry to all the Corsola lovers out there. Until it becomes Cursola like 20 years from now, it's just even more boring than Chin Chow. At least Chin Chow evolves.
I feel like you could do a lot with a coral Pokemon, and they just didn't do anything interesting.
What's your idea?
I don't know. Coral is beautiful. It's beautiful structures, so...
Yeah, and the coral Pokemon we get is like a boring pink thing with some white splotches on it.
Yeah, if each one had its own unique color, that would be cool. Like, I know that'd be hard to like draw, but like if each one was like a different color, size, shape...
Oh, Jacob, that's such a good idea. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Spinda and how Spinda can have unique spots on its face and ears and stuff. They should have done that with Corsola. Like, they have unique horns or the white spots or something. Like, anything to make it, like, interesting.
And it should have a three-stage evolution where, like, the first one, maybe call it, like, core. Call it something, I don't know. But, like, in the first stage, it's still attached to, like, the hive mind of coral or whatever, you know what I mean, like it's still, and it looks decrepit, and then when it separates it becomes a Corsola, and then the third evolution, you know, that would be cool. And this episode should have been Team Rocket opens up a factory and they're polluting the water so bad that all the coral are like bleached, so they're white. You know, kind of like what's really going on.
Well, that happens.
Oh, it does, really? Does that happen later
on? That's what Cursula is.
Oh, really? I didn't know
it's
that.
It's a dead.
You've never seen the new Cursula?
No, I have not.
What's okay, it's a ghost type, and it looks like it's a from Sword and Shield, I think.
Oh, it's a dead.
It's like this.
The whole thing is it died.
That's what we've been joking about. Look what happens to Cursula.
Oh my gosh, this is terrible.
It's bleached.
Pollution has just killed these things.
That's what Cursula deserves for being so ugly and uninteresting.
Oh my gosh. So you're out there dumping acid kill into the
Great
water.
Barrier Reef. Yeah. Kill the reefs.
I just bought a whole bunch of Clorox. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to go dump it over here in the ocean. Am I good for it?
No, but seriously, I think Cursula's a missed opportunity. Coral has a lot of diversity visually. They could have done so much, and they just didn't.
I guess back to this episode, though, that's it is kind of like the Hobbit one where they kind of like find the abandoned Cursula that are kind of just hidden. Psyduck helps us out, too. I remember that. Psyduck, for some reason, is able to help us out. Good for once. I guess its headache is eased thanks to the tropical climate. Probably less humidity and pressure there from the atmosphere. So we basically find them all. And then Team Rocket comes in with a giant, I guess, was it a net again? Did they get all the Cursula with a net?
Something like that.
Yeah, and capture all the Cursula, except for Rocky, who is, you know, out there doing his thing. And Rocky is actually able to defeat Team Rocket and save all his Cursula brethren and sisterin. They reunite, and everyone's grateful now because the Rocky understands how to treat his brothers and sisters. Should they be brothers and sisters if they're... No, it doesn't matter. He learns how to treat
nature's
his
nature's scary. Damn nature, you
nature's
scary.
Nature's scary.
I mean, I don't know how coral works in real life. I don't know how they reproduce. I don't know how, like, their family structures are. But I'm assuming it's a weird and alien, just like coral itself is.
Is coral alive?
Yes.
It's an animal.
It's a bunch of little animals made up into one thing.
How do coral mate?
Well, it's the ocean, so they just like release their semen everywhere, like everything else, I'm sure.
This is why we don't go in the ocean. That's
no wonder the water's so salty.
3072 of why we don't go in the ocean.
Okay. So they reproduce asexually and sexually.
What? How don't coral reproduce? They do it all.
I'm learning a lot about coral. I just knew about the bleaching, which apparently the Pokemon company knows about as well. Anyway, Rocky saves his friends, brothers and sisters, if you will. I don't know if they're asexually or sexually reproducing. It's up for you to decide as the listener. But anyway, Rocky doesn't spend much time with his brothers and sisters or friends because Misty has her eye on Rocky and is, golly, she's been wanting a Cursula since we saw one a few days ago. So she's been on the hunt. And guess what? She throws a Pokeball, and Rocky willingly submits itself to her team, and she captures it, and there you go. Misty got a Cursula. She does a little dance. Episode ends.
Alex wants to point something out.
It wasn't a Pokeball.
Oh, that's right. It was the blue one, right? It was the blue water ball.
It was a lure ball.
Lure.
And according to our favorite resource, Bulbapedia, that's the last time we'll see a Pokeball variant being used to catch Pokemon for 730 more episodes.
Oh, shit. So
enjoy it, because we won't see it again for a long fucking time.
Does Lana capture Sandy the Eevee in a lure ball? Do I remember that correctly?
Does she?
So this is the last time we see a Pokeball used or a lure ball used?
Let me go back to the thing.
No one ever uses a Pokeball ever again. That never happens.
That makes me think. I don't know, sir. I'm confused.
All right, this says, according to the trivia section of this episode, A Cursula Caper, it says, this episode marks the last time in the anime where a Pokemon has been caught by a main character in a Pokeball variant until first catch in Alola, Ketchum style, 730 episodes later.
Sure, whatever. Bulbapedia just loves to list episode counts.
Who does he catch in this episode? Is it Rowlet? But wait, what does he catch Rowlet in?
Rowlet's in a Pokeball.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Jesse uses James's luxury ball to catch Mimikyu.
Oh, okay.
That's crazy. I can't believe that this is the last time for 730 episodes that they don't use a Pokeball. That's wild.
Well, it's difficult to keep track of which Pokemon's in which Pokeball. That's why they're all usually in the red Pokeballs.
That's so boring. All right, anyway. I say that like I don't catch all my shit in Pokeballs in the games. Oh, well.
Episode over. We got Rocky. Rocky's joining the team.
Yep, hooray. Rocky's ready to fight Apollo.
R.I.P. Apollo Creed.
Yep, Misty's happy, which is kind of weird. She separated that right after they become friends. Misty separates it from
from its reef.
Yeah, from its reef. What do you call a group of Corsola?
A reef of Corsola.
There you go. All right, for the MVP, LVP, and the quote, Alex, you're first, followed by Austin, and then me.
All right, my LVP is going to be the Yellow Rock residents for building their houses on Corsola poo and having their houses habitually break off into the ocean because it seems like this is common. They need a better system. And honestly, I'm not really sure why they even put them on the nests because they have wooden slats and like stilts that they can just stand on. So I'm not really sure why they didn't just go that way. My MVP is going to be Bulbasaur because we see Bulbasaur for 1/2 second.
He and Bayleaf saved the house.
Yeah, they pulled the house to safety from the whirlpool. So just Bulbasaur, though, not Bayleaf.
Oh, okay.
Just want to make that clear. And I'm sure I'm not. Well, actually, I'm not so sure how many more times we'll see it. So I'm relishing the fractions of a second that we can see it while it's still here. My quote is going to be when Brock meets, what was her name? Andrea,
yeah.
The older sister. Brock obviously is smitten with her and he runs up to her and he says, "My dear, you've already thanked us with that wonderful smile of yours. Hi, I'm Brock. And although I aspire to be a great Pokemon breeder, I really aspire to get to know you better." And Misty says, "Okay, but now it's time to get your aspirations out of here."
That was good.
That was good.
Wow, I didn't, that was good. I didn't catch that one. Good job, four kids, again.
All right. My MVP is going to be Bayleaf, because Alex did not give it to Bayleaf. My LVP is going to be Annie, Danny, Kenny, Denny, Ronnie, Lonnie, Connie, Bonnie, Johnny, and Donnie, which is the names of the Corsolas.
How inspired.
Even though there's actually a mistake, because there's more names than there are Corsolas.
Well, really? Some get lost.
Some of them we just pretended to find. They're going to be my LVPs because they do not give a shit about these people who have built a house on top of their home. And they said, "Fuck you people." And they left and left them out to sea. And all the people were always like, we're a big old family. And the Corsola are like, "We don't like you. Leave us alone."
Did we notice how the Corsola were scared to be found? Like, they didn't want to be found. They were panicking. They were like, fuck.
They hated Rocky.
They didn't want to come back to that nest.
That hellhole.
So they get LVP because they're being held captive by these people.
Yeah.
After they try to escape. Okay, my quote. I got a few good ones.
Just do one, because I got a good one, too.
I'm going to go with Andrea. She's asking Annie the Corsola. She says, "Annie, where are the others?" And Annie says, "Corsola, Corsola, Corsola." And Andrea says, "What's that? You don't know?" I love when they do that.
They just make up what they want to hear. That's the best.
I completely.
And Annie's trying to say, "We ran away. We don't like you. We don't like Rocky.
You're gonna kill me. You're gonna kill me. She's gonna kill me."
Where is Simon? We need Simon up here to help translate.
Oh, I hope Simon's long gone. I don't want to hear about him and his bullshit. Get away,
They got
Simon.
Sick of him and they put him on an old home that was on a Corsola nest and he drifted out to sea and he's gone forever.
He went down a whirlpool. He's hanging with Lugia at the bottom of the ocean.
Translating what she says. All right, so I guess my turn now. I'm going to give my least valuable player to all the suckers who buy the Corsola horns. Waste of money. Oh my gosh, I don't know who to give my MVP to. I don't know. I guess I give it to Rocky. I don't know. He defeats Team Rocket. It's a good redemption arc, I guess.
I hope y'all like Rocky because we got more Rocky to come.
Good. Oh, God.
Good deal. All right. And my quote comes from Jesse. Comes from Jesse. And this is when they're like trying to make money off the horns or whatever. And she goes, "What's the point of a life spent telling twerps?" I was like, God, if you only knew what was intel for you. That's all you do for the rest of your life is tell the twerps.
I have a question, Austin. Maybe you have some insider trivia on this. There's a couple parts in here where they reference 500. So
yeah, I don't have any context.
Okay, because James says something about like, okay, they did like 500 smash and grabs and all this. And then they did like at the end when they blast off, he said like, "Happy 500th anniversary" or something. I looked it up and I was like, this can't be the 500th episode. For reference, it's the 213th episode, according to the list.
Bulbapedia's fucking lying. It's 215.
Okay. All right. Well, Thank you for the correction.
More inaccurate information from Bulbapedia, our favorite.
I shouldn't be surprised.
Oh, but I found out why I was 500.
What? What's that referencing?
Quick Google search. It is an Achilles number and a Harshad number, meaning it is divisible by the sum of its digits.
Thanks, Jacob. That was really helpful.
That was helpful. Yep.
Welcome. That's what I'm here for.
So I don't know what that's for. I'm not really sure.
Was there a pun? A pun that didn't come over to English? I don't know.
Yeah, is it some kind of Japanese joke or something? I'm not sure.
I guess that's the end of that episode. A course of the caper. Austin, what's on the menu next week?
Mantine overboard.
Okay. Mantine? Mantine?
Mantine.
Is that a Pokemon?
Yeah, there's some debate over how you actually pronounce that.
Okay.
Is it Mantine or Mantine?
I think it's Mantine.
It is Mantine, but 4Kid says Mantine.
Oh, I thought it was Mantine. Have I been saying it wrong this whole time?
The other episode is Octillery the Outcast.
I think I have a vague memory of that episode.
This is all lost on me. I forgot about the Whirlpool Islands.
I'm still going to say Mantine. Nobody can change my mind.
I guess. Does anyone have any closing thoughts before I sign us off?
I swear to God, the World Cup, the World Islands get better. I swear to God.
Okay.
That could be a false memory, but I swear to God.
Are you sure you're just not, like, making up things to help cushion the inevitable blow of disappointment?
I think I have Stockholm Syndrome for Johto at this point.
Something like that.
Austin talked about doing something else besides episodes while I was gone. I was like, you better not, because we need to get through this.
No, we'll see how it goes, Jacob. I'm gonna make you watch every single goddamn episode.
Apparently. Alex, what are your final thoughts here?
I hope we get through some of these more stale episodes. Gets to the excitement that Austin has promised us.
Maybe you should put that excitement aside.
Well, you've gotten the hopes up. Now they can't come down. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And congratulations to you, Jacob. Hopefully we get you back on the podcast every now and again. But otherwise, Austin and I will have to figure something out.
Yeah, well, good luck. You know, these episodes suck when the most exciting thing we talk about is how coral reproduce. You know,
that was very exciting.
That was.
I thought reproducing the anglerfish reproducing was much more interesting. To be
honest,
that
was interesting. Yeah, yeah. Because I guess it's like it knows what it's got to do.
Instinct.
Alrighty. We'd like to say thank you all for listening. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating, unlike the ratings we left for some of our Pokemon reviews, in a bonus episode. If you want to check that out, you can check that out by subscribing to our Patreon. And if you have any questions or comments for us, you can send them to outofthedryingpan@gmo.com. Again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmo.com. We have an X account called Out of Drying Pan. Again, the handle is Out of Drying Pan. Please be sure to check that out. And we also have an Instagram that gets updated daily by Alex. She posts a lot of
unique pictures. Talk there. About false expectations. Don't listen to Jacob.
She posts pictures of coral there. You can sort of figure out what you want to think about. It's like a Rorschach test. You see this coral and you're like, oh, that's a girl jump roping. So you want to have some fun there and go check it out. I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else to plug here. So be sure to join us next time as this journey continues.